a joy and privilege to be with you again this evening. Just before we look into the Word, just want to share a couple of things. Again, one, we had a talk with Krista this afternoon. Yesterday, their choir participated in a rally at the state capitol in West Virginia and for the pro-life movement, trying to get a law in West Virginia, a pro-life law. And she said there were over 3,000 people there from all over the state of West Virginia, one of the largest rallies of any kind they ever had in the state. And we should be in prayer for tomorrow, the march in Washington, D.C. for pro-life, with the millions and millions of young unborn children that are being murdered in our country. Just a couple of things along the line of the prison outreach. I was talking with a brother recently who had had contact with one of the men who had been one of our students a while back, and he had had him in a Bible study, and he's now released from prison and said he's really going on for the Lord. In fact, his desire is to get into a prison ministry, but he's not going too fast because he doesn't want to get into it immediately because there'd probably be suspicions of him, but he wants to continue studying the Word to grow, and eventually, if the Lord leads, to go into a prison ministry. He lives in the Baltimore area, but said he's, a couple of months ago, we sent him some literature, some books on the tabernacle, that he's really got involved in a study of the tabernacle, and said he's really, has really taken hold of that, and the Lord seems to be blessing in his life. He's reunited with his family. And so be in prayer for this man. I'll give you, his name is John Noonan, that you might be in prayer for him, that the Lord might be able to use him in a wonderful way. And also, one of the brethren who lives down in Bel Air, Maryland, some of you may know Brother Bud Young, has a Bible study at the Baltimore County Detention, at the Baltimore City Detention Center. And he has about 20 inmates who are studying there, and we just recently sent him some copies of Revelation. They're interested in prophecy, and so they're going through studying the book of Revelation once a week. So be in prayer for that Bible study. But also, he was also going into a prison at Jessup, Maryland Correctional Institute, Jessup, and the chaplain has now banned him from the institution. It seems the chaplains have quite a bit of clout, and some of the inmates were getting teaching in eternal security and things like this that the chaplain didn't appreciate, and so he stopped the Bible study and banned him from the institution. And so sometimes things like this happen. So we can be in prayer that the Lord will overrule in situations like this. We do have some chaplains who are very favorable toward the work. In fact, they're very helpful in the work, and you might just remember these helpful chaplains. In fact, one brother is named Archie McGee. He's in his 70s. He's a volunteer chaplain in Cecil County Detention Center, and every 6 or 8 weeks we'll send him about 20 copies of Born to Win, and he'll distribute them to the inmates, and when they complete them, they'll mail them to us, and then we'll grade the courses and put them all together in one package, mail them back to him for distribution to the inmates, which is very helpful in that way. And then we have another chaplain at the Prince William County Detention Center, Manassas, Virginia, Elton Glenn, who does the very same thing. We keep him stocked with the first course. He passes them out to the inmates. Then we mail all the courses back to him in one package for distribution. We also have, there's a new chaplain at Franklin County Prison. I haven't met him. I've just talked to him on the telephone. His name is Kendall Link, and he is has been increasing the number of courses, passing out the courses to the inmates in there over what we'd had in recent times. And we just got about 20 completions back just this past week from inmates in at Franklin County Prison. And so be in prayer for that. And then a brother in Silver Spring, Maryland, who goes to New Hampshire Avenue Chapel, Gene Walter, is a volunteer with Good News Mission. He goes into the Montgomery County Detention Center, and he's once they've completed the Good News Mission course, he's carrying them on into the Emmaus courses, and we just sent him the courses, and he's able to take care of the whole thing, the distributing to the inmates, the grading, the certificates and everything right there in the institution, which helped out a lot. And then we have another group called Southeastern Correctional Ministries down in Hampton, Virginia, in about 8 or 9 local jails in that area. And their people are distributing courses into the jails there. And then some folk at a chapel down in Newport News are grading the courses for Southeastern Correctional Ministry. So these are some of the people who are involved in helping in the distribution of the courses that you might want to keep in prayer and their encouragements. And as I mentioned, that chaplain, there are discouragements, but we can be thankful that the encouragements outweigh the discouragements. One thing that did happen, we just this week got back 5 from one jail of the calendars and Christmas cards that we sent to the inmates, and they had slipped the top of the envelopes, had opened them, and then they were all taped back together, and they were returned to us and marked as unacceptable material. So I don't know what was wrong with a Christmas card and a calendar, but they weren't acceptable, but they were all from the same jail down in Burkeville, Virginia. So you might pray for the people. I was talking to one brother. Sometimes he says that in the mail rooms, he has had some experience with people, and they'll look at the things coming in. If they see the word Bible or gospel or something, it's illegal, but sometimes if there's a person who maybe is in a cult, somebody that has something against an inmate or something, things do end up just going right into the trash cans or stamped refused and sent back. And so pray that the Lord will overwork in cases where there are people like this that don't want to see the literature coming in or have the responsibility and hold up the literature. We had one just a while back where a fellow had wrote and said that they'd held his mail for 6 months in the office, and he just received it, and he was wanting to get enrolled again and get back with the courses, but had been sitting there in the office of the prison for 6 months before they gave it to him. And so there are many things like this that happen. Also, we just mentioned we had a family picture taken back in the summer, made a little prayer card, and if you'd like to be interested in having one of these, we'll set some back at the back, and you'd be welcome to take one with you. So we look into the Word tonight, and I'd like to just read one verse as we think about the message that we want to have this evening. But read a verse in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. This is speaking of the covenant, the new covenant, but if we think about it, it says, "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you again this evening that we can gather together to look into thy precious word. We thank you for the freedom that we have to do this. We just pray that you would just speak to our hearts tonight, even if there's someone here who knows thee not, that tonight might be the night that they would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us who do know thee, that we might go forth seeking to serve thee as we look for the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We would again remember the family and bereavement at this time, the plaster of family, and ask that thou just comfort them. Be with those who are ill, particularly Beth Mrs. Schindel at the Hershey Medical Center. She would just give the doctors wisdom. And Father, we would pray for the unborn children in our country, that you would just help to overcome this evil that's going on of abortion. And we just thank you again for the privilege we have of gathering to look into thy word this evening. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. I was thinking about this subject tonight of changed in Christ. As we sang that song, redeemed, that really sums it up. We are redeemed. And he says in this verse here, he says, "A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you." The very same thing happened to us as believers as we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We received a new heart, a new spirit within us, because we have been redeemed. We've been paid for. And what a precious privilege it is tonight to be a part of the redeemed, to have had our sins paid for in their entirety, our past sins, our present sins, our future sins, completely paid for, completely put away, and no longer remembered by our Lord. A new life we have. We've been changed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like to think about this evening, how we've been changed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the things that have come about as we've been changed in our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look, think about it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, there's two words that stand out, I think, in that verse. With actually three words. Christ liveth in me. Four words. Christ liveth in me. As we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as we become redeemed, we now have the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. A lot of times I think we don't take the consideration, maybe as seriously as we should, about the Lord Jesus Christ living in us as we have trusted Him as our own personal Savior. Sometimes I think we maybe tend to forget the fact that He is in us, He's with us, everywhere we go. You know, if we could think back to the days when we were young and when we went to school, you know, a lot of times the teacher would be out of the room or something and there'd probably be all kinds of commotion going on in the classroom. But the moment the teacher was in the classroom, what happened? Things quietened, didn't they? A quiet would come over the room and attention would be paid to the one who was in charge of the room. Because maybe not as much today as in the old days, past days, there would be severe discipline if the teacher was disobeyed. If the teacher if the students didn't pay attention to the teacher. When the teacher was in the room, there was attention to the teacher. And yet today, a lot of times, I think maybe we as Christians forget about that the Lord Jesus Christ is in us. And with He in us, it should really have an effect upon our lives, upon the things we say, upon the things we think, upon the things we see, upon the things we do. Every aspect of our life should be affected by the thought that Christ liveth in me. He dwells. You know, sometimes we've heard the illustration, when you're thinking about, should I do this or should I not do that? Ask yourself, would the Lord Jesus Christ do that? If you say, no, He wouldn't do that, then maybe we shouldn't do it. But maybe a better thing to think about is the fact that in every action that we take, and in every word that we say, in every thought that we have, to realize the fact that Christ liveth in me. And is that action pleasing or dishonoring to Him? Is that thought pleasing or dishonoring to Him? Is that thing that we're saying pleasing or dishonoring to Him? And if we as believers would consider this more, the fact that Christ lives in us, would it have more of effect in our lives day by day? Would we as Christians be able to have a greater effect in this world than what it seems like we're having right now? We see so much evil coming in the world. And yet the church in many ways seems to be, instead of standing against the world, is floating toward the world. Instead of being separated from the world, is almost in a sense becoming mixed in till you can't tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. As Christians, this thought should be within our hearts day by day. Christ liveth in me. He's there every hour of every day, every minute, every second. He's there. He's changed us. As the Lord Jesus Christ came to live within our life and change us, He's given us some many different things that are in our life that weren't there before. Like in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 and 39. Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, there's a different love in our life. Before, I believe there is the love of self. There is a desire to serve our own self. I think in a sense this is probably one of the things that makes things so wrong in our world today with the drug situation, with the situation of abortion is self. It's a serving of self. You hear the people saying, let people have choice. Let me choose for myself what I want to do. They want to thinking not of anyone else, not of the unborn child, but only of self. The person who gets caught up in drugs. What makes me feel good? So they think it makes them feel good. So often ends up in terrible tragedy. But it's what I want to do. What I want to do. Not what anyone else wants to do. But when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, there's a change. Instead of that love of self, there comes the love of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. A love for Him. A desire to serve Him. As we as Christians grow in the Word, there should be a greater desire day by day to serve Him. Maybe He won't call us to go to some far away land. Maybe He will. Maybe He'll only call us to serve in our own local assembly. But how important it is to love the Lord and to want to serve Him, to want to do all that we can to see men and women and boys and girls coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And not only to love Him, but to love thy neighbor as thyself. Thy neighbor, it includes fellow believers. It includes the person who's unsaved, the person we work with that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They may have habits, they may do things that we don't approve of, that we don't like, but yet they're a soul that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. It doesn't mean we have to join in with them in the things that they do, but to love them for the Lord Jesus Christ, to try and win them for Him. You know, as we look around and see the situation that's going on in the world today, the seemingly falling away of the East Bloc nations from the sphere of the Soviet Union, more and more talk of a united Europe, more and more things that point toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly we can't set a date, but we have to believe that it's so soon. And yet how many millions of people are lost? How many millions are going to be lost for all eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ? As we love God, how we should love our neighbor and those that are around us. It gives us the change that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a different love. And then it also gives us a different goal. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see that the goal of our life now is Him. We're very well-known passage of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, what a goal it is to be in our life, to be with Him. You know, I say before a person gets saved, if an unsaved person, you go down the street and you would ask, what is your goal? What's the goal of your life? It would probably be to become president of my country, or to become president of my company, to be a millionaire, to make as much money as I can. Probably all kinds of goals along that line of material nature. Maybe it would be to be a great humanitarian. They would all be earthly goals. But for the Christian, the goal of our life should be to be with Him, to look for His return. That doesn't mean that you can't do the best you can in your job. It doesn't mean you can't do the best you can at school. It doesn't mean you can't do the best you can wherever you are and seek and have advancement and things like that. But it does mean that the goal of your life should not be the goals of this world. The goal of our life is to look for His return, to be ready for His return. It could be at any moment. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord Jesus Christ would return this evening? It would be sad in a sense that we might have loved ones, we might have friends who would be lost. But yet, the preciousness to know that one day we're going to be with Him, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. To be with Him. What a wonderful goal to have in our life. And that goal should be ever before us, to be ready. To be ready if He should come today. And as we think about that, we should ask ourselves, are there things in my life that I need to straighten out? Are there things in my life that I need to straighten out with other believers? Are there things in my life that I need to straighten out with other individuals or with my boss or with my co-workers? So that I'm perfectly, have everything in my life taken care of, and I'm looking for the Lord. Looking for His appearing. Oh, what a wonderful appearing it's going to be. The Lord Jesus Christ has changed us in a wonderful way when He saved us. Given us so many different things that we can put to practice in our lives. He's also changed our relationships. You know, in John chapter 8, the Lord speaks of those whose father is the devil. And in a sense, this would be the very relationship that we had before we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We were lost. We were guilty. We were on our way to spend eternity in the lake of fire with Satan, with his angels, a place that wasn't prepared for us, a place that was prepared for him. Oh, when we were changed, it brought about a complete new relationship. As the writer tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Isn't it wonderful tonight to have a new Father? God the Father. We are his dear child. And as his child, all the blessings of heaven are at our disposal. All the power of heaven is there to be used in the life of the believer if we'll but take hold of it. If we'll but use it and in our service and in our life for him day by day. A wonderful relationship has been established. Before, there was no relationship at all with God. And a lot of people today would say, well, God would come down and see how loving he is and accept everybody into heaven. But God is a righteous God. And there's this vast gulf in there. A gulf that God's holiness would not allow him to bridge without a sacrifice. And there's no way as mankind that we could ever bridge that gulf in our own self, in our own righteousness. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we can rejoice tonight that in the Lord Jesus Christ that gulf has been bridged. And we have a new relationship. We're his dear children. We can call God our Father. And we have a complete new relationship, a whole new family, as it were, because all over the world we have brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful to have an earthly family, but it's even more wonderful to have a heavenly family and to be united with brothers and sisters, knowing that we have like minds all across the globe. You know, no matter what the language is, no matter what the nationality is, you go anywhere in the world, meet with Christians, and immediately you've got something in common. Immediately there's something that you can share. And even with blood family, that's not always the same. You know, you might live in one part of the country, and you might go to visit relatives in another part of the country, and other than being blood relatives, there may not be a lot in common. And you might not even get along with your relatives. But in Christ, there's something that binds us together in Him. And what a wonderful thing it is that we're part of a brand new family. And then in that brand new family, it's also going to bring about some different friends. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. When we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, sometimes it means different friends. That doesn't mean that we're to say goodbye to the world, to the unsaved friends, and say, we don't want to have anything more to do with you. But we have to examine those friendships. And examine the actions that come within those friendships. And sometimes we have to separate from the actions that are there. And try to cultivate friends with those we do have something in common with, fellow believers. Not that we want to reject the world, but oh, we have to be so careful in the friendships that we make. You know, this says in another scripture, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And how we have to be careful as believers in the good friendship that we make, that we do it in the right way, and we do it in a way that's honoring and pleasing unto Him. You know, a lot of times the person, well, if I am such a real good friend with this person, maybe I can win them to the Lord. And so I'll go to the places that they go to, and I'll go to the thing, do the things that they do, and if I do that, it'll open up the way that maybe I can reach them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sad thing, all so often, instead of the Christian bringing the unsaved person to the Lord Jesus Christ, it ends up with just the opposite effect. How many times over have we seen the unsaved person having a greater effect in that case upon the Christian? Come ye up from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be careful in the friends that we have, in the friends that we make, not neglecting those that are around us that need the Lord Jesus Christ, not neglecting our witness, not neglecting the responsibility we had to try and reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ, but to be careful in the friendship that we make. And as we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it also brought about a change in our character. A difference in the character we have. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, there should be a change in our actions, in the character of our actions. Walk in the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit once we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Only the difficult thing is that we still have that old nature warring within us. And so the old nature is warring against the new nature. And how our actions need to be yielding to the Spirit. Yielding to the leading of the Spirit. Yielding to the guidance of the Spirit so that we walk in the Spirit. If we go on and study these verses that are below here in the fifth chapter of Galatians, we'd see the works of the flesh as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. And whichever one we yield to is the one that's going to characterize the actions in our lives. If we yield to that old nature, the works of the flesh are going to take over. And our Christian life is going to be damaged. If we yield to the Holy Spirit and to His work and to His guiding in our lives, then the fruit of the Spirit is what's going to be cultivated. The fruit of the Spirit is what's going to be brought forth, and we're going to be able to live a Spirit-controlled life and a Spirit-filled life for Him. And our actions are going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And how we as Christians, in this day and time particularly, when we see so much evil around us, when we see so much ungodliness around us, the immorality of this world, how we need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit to keep us whole in our lives, to keep us yielded and near to Him. We want to be Spirit-controlled in our actions. And then we should have a difference in the attitude that we have in our Christian life. You know, before, our attitude might be, well, I'll just do what I want to do. I'll do the things that please me. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what God thinks. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. Once we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to have a complete new attitude, a change in that attitude. We want to yield our lives to Him because He has a will for us. He has a responsibility for every one of us as believers. And that comes as we yield ourselves to Him. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, to yield our lives, a living sacrifice, to say, Lord, here's my life. You take it. It was mine before. I held it for myself. I did what I wanted to do. But now, it's yours. You're in control of my life. And now I want to turn it over to you. Because you have something for me to do. You have your will for me to do. And I want to do that will. And I don't want to have my old attitude. But I want to have an attitude that's honoring and pleasing unto you. And so there's a change in our attitude. And then there should be a change in our ambition. Back in John chapter 8. Verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have freedom. In truth, we have freedom. And our ambition should be to walk in the truth. Before, we walked after the power of this world. We walked after that spirit of disobedience. We had that old nature that controlled us. And so, in a sense, we walked in a false light. But in Christ, we want to walk in truth. An ambition to serve Him completely in truth. The old thing should be completely put away. The old thing should be completely forgotten. And a new ambition to walk completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to have new affection. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. A complete new affection should be found in our life as believer. Not to love the world, but to love the Father. That the love of the Father indwells our heart. That the love of the Father is what guides us. That the love of the Father is what causes us to go forth day by day into this world. His love, the guiding force behind us as we go out to work. The guiding force behind us as we go to school. The guiding force behind us as we meet the people we come in contact with on the street, in the supermarket, at the gas station. The love of God. And if we have the love of God in our hearts, part of the desire to see fruit brought forth in the world, if we see each individual, someone who needs to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ, all the world around us, dying and completely unaware of it. They could care less so often. And many times they would laugh in your face if you said you're lost and you're on your way to the lake of fire. But whether they laugh in our face or not, that's not our responsibility. The responsibility that we as believers have is to carry that gospel, to carry the love of the Father to a world that's around us that needs it so badly. And then as we think of the change in our affections, we also want to be so careful of the appearance. You know, there's so much written lately about Christians. And so-called Christians at times, they in the media, when someone that's so-called a fundamentalist Christian gets into some kind of trouble, it's plastered again across the front pages of the paper. When someone that's been a Christian goes to prison or something, it's right across the front of the paper and in all the news media. And then the world looks and says, "Look at that! That's what those Christians are like." All as believers, we have to be so careful in every aspect of our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We know automatically, as believers, we're to abstain from evil. We're to abstain from the things that are wrong. But he goes in a little bit farther here for us as Christians. We need to carry our lives even a little bit farther than that. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it has even a look to it that might be wrong, we as Christians need to be very careful in our lives that we abstain from it. Because the world is looking. The world is looking, has us as believers under a magnifying glass. And they're looking for what they can point out wrong. It may be that they don't even go to church. It may be they could care less about God and couldn't care the least bit about the things of Christ. But yet, when somebody names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately the world starts watching them. And starts watching their life. And watching every aspect of that life. So that in a moment's notice they can say, "Aha! I thought he was a Christian. I thought she was a Christian. And look what they're doing. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Anything that could in any way bring dishonor, or even the appearance of dishonor upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The change needs to be complete in our character. And it can be if we yield ourselves to Him. If we give our lives totally over to Him, He can give us the power. He can give us the strength to accomplish these things. We can't accomplish it in our own selves. We can't do it in our own strength, even the least thing. But in Him, we can have victory. In Him, we can have victory over the flesh. In Him we can have the control, the Holy Spirit control in our lives. And so there needs to be a change in our, in every bit of our character. And then as we look to the last point, there needs to be a change in our desires. Before, our desires were probably geared to the things of this world. To have fun. To enjoy the world. To enjoy everything that's around us. And that's not to say that Christians can't enjoy the world that's around us. But the whole desire of the unsaved is the joys and the wonderful things of this world. But for the Christian, there needs to be a change in our desires. And in Philippians 3:10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Our desire now is him. Our desire now should be the Lord Jesus Christ in every part of our life. To have him in complete control. To have him in the first place. As we have the Lord Jesus Christ in first place, it's going to be about, bring about a greater love for him. A greater love for our Savior. You know, the scripture says that he loved us before we even thought about loving him. God loved us. And he didn't put our loving him as even a condition of our salvation. While we were in sin, he went to the cross and died for us. While we were lost, he went to the cross and died for us. While we were aliens, as Paul says in Ephesians, he died for us. We were without Christ in the world, and yet he died for us. He didn't put any conditions to it. He didn't say, now, before you get saved, you've got to love me with all your heart. No, he says, I offer you salvation freely as a gift. But once we are saved, the desires of our heart need to change. As those desires of our heart change toward him, then it's going to bring about a greater love for him. And certainly every believer, if a person says, I don't love the Lord, they certainly couldn't be a believer. They wouldn't be a believer to begin with if they didn't love him. But it's going to bring about a greater love of him day by day. The more we know him. You know, when a young couple starts dating, the more they date, the stronger their love grows. And it doesn't grow weaker as they date, but it grows stronger. And as a Christian accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and has him indwelling within them and dwells on him day by day, then that love for the Savior is going to grow. And so it's going to bring about a new desire. That desire is to love him. It's going to bring about a new desire for his word. Back in Psalm 119 and verse 11, it says, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And all down through Psalm 119, we see aspects of the word of God. In verse 97, I love thy law. In verse 103, yea, it's sweeter than honey to my mouth. That changed desire that comes when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, is going to give us a greater love for his word. And the greater we have in the love for his word, the more change it's going to bring about in our lives as believers. The more we love this book, the more precious this book becomes to our heart, the closer we're going to become to our Savior. The more we love this book, the stronger our life as Christians is going to be. It's going to be easier to yield ourselves to him. It's going to be easier to put those things first. It's forgotten about. It's going to be easy to strip for those things of the world. Because this book is the guide map. It's a kind of like our road map here in this Christian life. We start out on a trip to the West Coast. First thing we do is go down to AAA and get a map to plot out our way to go there. We certainly wouldn't jump in our car and say, I'm going to go to Los Angeles and just take off down the road and hope that we get there. We want to follow the road to get there. And in our Christian life, we don't say, well, now I'm a Christian, now I know the Lord, and I've accepted him, and I can just set this book aside, and I'll just live my life for him day by day. It doesn't work like that. We have to love this book. learn this book and hide it in our hearts. And the more we hide His Word in our hearts, the closer we're going to be to Him. And so, as we have that change in our desire, it's going to bring about a greater love for Him. It's going to bring about a greater love for His Word. It's also going to bring about a greater love for prayer. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, we see the little verse, pray without ceasing. I'm sure that probably every one of us believers would say, we sure wish that we would pray more than what we do. But as our love for Him increases, as our love for His Word increases, then that love of prayer is also going to increase, knowing that we have one out there that we can carry our burdens to, that we can bring our praises to, that we can carry, where we can bring the petitions for other believers, the petitions for the unsaved, knowing that there's one there to hear and to answer. It's going to make all the difference in the world. Our prayer life is going to change as we have that more, greater desire for Him. And that's also going to bring about a greater desire to see others one to Him. The world that's around us. The more we love the Lord, the more we love His Word, the more we love prayer, the greater the love is going to be for the unsaved people. We might not love the things that they do. We might not love the actions that they have. But there's going to be a love in our heart that they need the Savior. And it's going to compel us to go forth to share the good news with them, that they might have what's in us. That as our life was changed in Christ, their life might be changed in Christ. And maybe there's someone here tonight and your life has never been changed in Christ. You're still living your old life. He offers you salvation as a free gift. He says, you come to Him, He won't cast you out. He says, whosoever will may come. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, why not accept Him tonight? Ask Him to come into your life, and you can be changed in Him. And then you can begin to see these fruits in your life as He changes you, as He brings you into a closer relationship with Himself, and as He puts His love in your heart, the love for His Word and the love for prayer. Oh, what a change can come in your life. If you're here tonight without the Savior, after the meeting is over, why don't you just slip up to one of the brethren and say, I want to know how to be saved. Tonight, I want to receive the Savior. And any one of us would be glad to take the Word of God, to sit down with you, and to show you how you can have your sins forgiven. For those of us who do know Him, may we go forth, realizing in Him, we've been changed. We've had the old things put away. Something new put within us. The nature of Him as He has come to indwell our hearts and to lead us and to guide us day by day, and how we should let that love flow forth into a world around us as we go forth to school, to work, wherever we are, to let the love of the Lord Jesus Christ flow through us to a dying world that's on their way to a priceless eternity. Let's just look to Him in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You this evening for Your love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were so far away from You, You redeemed us for Your own. And how we just praise and thank You for the salvation we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as believers, may we yield ourselves to Thee, totally and completely, to be used in Thy will, as we seek to do the things that are honoring and pleasing to Thee. We would pray, Father, to be even just one individual here tonight who has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that they may not have peace nor rest, but they may their life right with Thee. And again, we just thank Thee for all Thy many blessings. We can't begin to count them. We can't begin to comprehend them all. We just thank Thee for them, and we look forward to that day we live so soon when we'll be with Thee throughout all the ages of eternity. It's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.